بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Some many years ago, I was a very, very wealthy boy studying. Not wealthy, very, 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 maybe five times. See, very, very, very. So every very is a million, billion, billion, trillion, so wealthy. So I just told him in passing, you don't need to make any figure. You've got so much of wealth, so why do you need to make figure for accumulating more? He gave me a brilliant answer, and I appreciated it. This was about 25, 28 years ago. So he says, Mullah, it's not about just making the money. It is about sustaining that wealth. It was a very important point. So he spoke about it, about wealth, but I use it for my own benefit. Ramadan is to make the rewards. Allah Pak throws out opportunities. Faraz multiplied 70 times. Nafal to Faraz. Right? And you're getting Laylatul Qadr. Then sins are maafed. Towards the end, everything is maafed. Everybody is maafed. I don't think there's a person that's left that's not maafed. So all the sheets are clean, cleared. Now the important thing is to sustain that. What we acquired over the month of Ramadan, then that has to be sustained. Otherwise, it would be رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ سِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءِ. That many a fasting person, what he gets out of his fasting is only the difficulty of hunger. رُبَّ قَائِمٍ. Same, a lot of people that are standing up for tahajjud and standing up at night, then at the end, you see, at the end you look at the what you made. You're doing out your balance sheet. At the end of a business day or a business year, you're working out how much you made. So when he works out what he's making, he's only made only the difficulty of getting up. Otherwise, he's got nothing. So now, it's a time to take stock and to see that whatever we have earned, that is preserved. So Nabi Sallam explains this in a hadith very beautifully. I've been explaining it in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, the words of Nabi Sallam are such, the more you think about it, the more the beauty that comes out. You see one beauty from one dimension and then another perspective. And the more you think about it, it's just beauty upon beauty. Nurun ala nur. It's light upon light. You need to take a liking for his words. You take a liking, then he will like you. You say to someone that I like you, I like your words, I like your bayan. Doesn't he take a liking to you? He's appreciating. So you take a liking for him. So you take a liking for the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and how you take a liking, you think about it. Or Nabi Sallallahu said this. What does he want from us? He wants something from us. Let's try and see what he wants. Let's do it. So this is an indication of muhabbat, of love. An alamat of love. You see, he said this. Now, why did he say this? What does he want from us? He likes something. So this muhabbat is a different thing. And what the world is, what is short of today, is not wealth. It is about muhabbat and sincerity. Purity and love. If you've got that, then everything will fall in place. But if you just want to work on everything else, and we don't work on that muhabbat, then you look like as though you are working on the branches, not working on the root, not working on the soil, but you're working on the branches, and you're thinking that I'm scoring much, you know, working on the branches. See all the fruits, come here, so let me work on this spot. So any person that is sensible, you understand that, but your effort is not right, not directed correctly. So work on the root, and you'll get everything working out. Everything has to be put into place. So Nabi Sallam starts off with Ra'asul Amr. Ra'asul Amr is Iman. Get the Iman right. Anything that relates to your Iman. If there is any impediment, any obstruction, any interruption, then clear it out. But you got someone's view, someone's theory, whatever, but clear your mind out. Is that the theory is still haunting you, it's still interfering you with you, it's interrupting your thought, clear it out. Because it's a more sensitive thing. Is that theory is there, the wrong theories are there, the wrong beliefs are there. And you're continuing with the ibadah. Ibadah doesn't mean much. But get the root right. You're working on the branches, you left the root out. So work on the root first. One person comes to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and he says that there is a certain person that doesn't believe in taqdeer. So well, if he doesn't work on these basic things, then all his actions of his will find no acceptance in the heavens. So he doesn't believe in taqdeer as he's supposed to be believing. A lot of ibadat he's doing, but he doesn't believe in the concept, in the belief of taqdeer. So that is not going to get to the heavens. It is reviling the Sahaba-i-Kiram, and he wants acceptance. Nothing working. But everything has to be done in order. The order is get the belief right. Sahaba is great, too great. But the choicest people of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then you reviling, and then you want acceptance. Like, I come to you, and I show disrespect to your family, to your parents, to your mother, father, to your children, and then I want you to like me. Will that ever happen? It's insensible to think that it's wrong. So get that right, that love must be right, that respect must be right. Today I was doing that verse of the Quran about Hajj. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ. Just the intention, ilhad actually refers to a little deviation. Ilhad, lahad, to deviate. You know, the qabr they say lahad, why it's deviated onto one end. So therefore you call it lahad. So a little deviation from the right, from the deen, a little deviation. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ. The deviation will be wrong, obviously. He's deviated and he's wrongfully deviated. Sometimes it may be a circumstance because of which person didn't do it like he's supposed to be doing it. So he may be excused. Like you're supposed to perform namaz standing, right? And because of your excuse and inability, you did your namaz sitting. So you have deviated, but not wrongfully. Done it rightly. But you didn't do the actual thing that you were supposed to be doing, standing and doing your namaz, posture, etc. But now there is a circumstance, you can't do it. What are you going to do? So there, that leeway is given, that allowance is given. But now you deviate, but for no right reason. You deviated, but for no right reason. So Allah Bak says, نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. We'll let him taste of a grievous punishment. So the grievous punishment comes in this world, comes in the next world. Now one is ilhad, and in the haram you're doing the ilhad. Deviating, but in the haram. Now how? In different ways, like in the days of ignorance, there used to be a widespread obscenity, right? They make tawaf naked, and they would say, they would justify themselves. That's the worst thing, is to justify themselves, that we will not make tawaf of the Baytullah in the clothing that we had wronged. So we have wrong in the clothing, so that clothing will not make tawaf. So they will then make the tawaf but naked. But you see now this type of thinking, to the normal person it looks very nice. So he got so much of respect that he removed his clothes. Why? Because he did wrong. So for that extreme respect that he's got for the Baytullah, that's what he's done. So this type of thinking is jazbati. It's emotionalism, right? And that emotionalism, if it is done one-on-one, it's all right. But you do it, and you do it publicly, it's wrong. Like for example, you may have heard of some buzurg, right? And that buzurg didn't wear black socks, for example, or black shoes. Why? Because of the Baytullah being black. Right? So if it's his personal amal, just leave it, don't publicize the thing. Because if you're going to publicize this, then this will become a law. And then people object, hey, but who is this buzurg now? He started it out now, so you must follow it. So they will either disrespect that buzurg, or they will make it a shari'i law. And both is wrong. to disrespect that saintly person is wrong, and to change the Sharia law is also wrong. So if someone is doing it, he's doing it on his personal capacity, but enough. But don't talk about it, don't publicize it. Now you start wearing green socks. So you start wearing green socks now, but the gumbat, the khadra is green. The green dome is green. Now you can't wear socks green. But if he's doing it on a personal level, but it's alright. But don't publicize it, don't talk about it. Don't make it a law. So that's, you're deviating. You made a law, you publicize it. When you publicize it, the people felt it's a law. And they say, hey, such respect the person has got. So if it's done on a personal level, individual level, it's alright. Same, see, if you talk of the zikrullah, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, then you can do the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in any condition that you are, with wuzu, without wuzu, in the state of janabat, you can take the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But now someone gives on bayan, say, you know that Buzur, what a great person was. Whenever he used to make Durud Sharif, then he used to make it in the state of wuzu. Now I say, he's such a great Buzur. Now I saw this type of people. On the one side, there's so much of respect, right, to that Durud Sharif. On the other end, they're converting haram. They're looking at all haram things on this side. All haram things, they're looking at porn on this side. And on this side, they're showing so much respect. Is there any middle path? See that. So now, these people get carried away with emotions. And these emotions, we will give it a space, right? But do it individually. You got some individual relationship, perhaps, with your parents. You may kiss the hands or kiss the forehead. Right? Someone may kiss the feet as well. So it's alright. But now you make it a public, you publicize it. You're going to meet that buzur, you must kiss his hand, kiss his forehead, kiss his feet. But now you're saying, you're going off the course. Won't you say that? It's like you, out of love, many people kiss the feet of the small baby. Don't you see that? Doing it. Small little child now, they'll kiss the hand, face, stomach, and everything they'll kiss. So, if they do it, it's alright, individual. Out of love and respect you're doing it for your parents, it's alright. But don't publicize these things. You publicize it now, you begin to measure piety and righteousness like this. So the other wrong will be, if that person is not doing it, he's wearing green socks or black socks, no respect he's got. Well, what about a buzur this is now? No respect he's got, you see that? See the extremes. So someone is doing it, let him do it individually. We don't get involved into it, we don't publicize it, don't make it an issue, don't talk about it. See, this is how this bid'at, this is how they start off. And for all I think, this salam, you know, you do it standing, right? So it must have started up in this manner. So someone in the Josh, he must just call up and say, Ya Nabi, Salamu Alaika, right? So in that emotions had the better over him. When that emotion had the better over him, then he just stood up and read that salam in that main manner, right? So now people saw it, hey, what a great thing. See that muhabbat that he's got. So he had the real muhabbat. Now you are doing it, whatever you're doing is an imitation. It's not the real thing. It's an imitation of the real. So this imitation is only of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No other person do you imitate. He did it, he had a certain level of love. One sahabi comes and sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he sees Nabi Sallallahu with his buttons open. They used to call it, something like a button, they used to call it Izra, Zur. In Urdu says Gunti, they call it. I don't know if you can see it anywhere. So he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and with the buttons of his collar all open, right? For the rest of his life, he and his son both had met Nabi Sam in that state. So for the rest of their lives, they would keep their buttons open. Now that was extreme muhabbat. With extreme muhabbat, they did for that reason. Now you're going to do it, is it real muhabbat or is it imitation? It's not real muhabbat, it's imitation. So they did it whether it was winter, whether it was summer. Whether it was in a court, whether it was in a masjid, whether it was at home, whether it was in a business place, will you maintain that? Going to court now with the open, you'll do it. You won't maintain it. So now, just leave it. It's an exclusive thing. Leave it now. This is how I say, this is bid'at start off. So the one that must have done it initially, we will not blame him at all. We'll say, no, he was very spirited. He had that emotions. The emotions had the better over him. And in that token of respect and mohabbat, he did whatever he did. He couldn't control himself. emotions had the better over him. So he did whatever he did, and for him it's alright. But after that, to imitate him, as though you were saying, I'm at the same level of love as that person. Is that right? It's a claim that I'm also at the same level of love as this person. It's not a genuine thing, it's a claim. If you were at the same level of love, then you wouldn't have left out any smaller sunnah. See, to keep the balance, how important it is. You see these kings of the past, how good they were in dini matters, how cautious and how brilliant they were. One person comes to Harun al-Rashid, and we don't take him as a buzurg or as a successful king, Muslim king. But now, look at him. One person says, hey, why are there the repetitions in the Quran Sharif? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, repeated 31 times in one surah. Surah is about 4 pages, and repeated about 31 times. So now, these people had the understanding of deen. They had the respect for deen. Right? They had the love for deen. And also they had the idea how to maintain deen. I will not say all what they did was right. Every leader has got a mistake here and there, made some problems here and there. Right? But they knew what is respect, they knew what was love, they knew what was maintaining the deen. So he had to maintain and sustain the deen. So right, this person has got a problem, let him stand. Call the executioner. Executioner, Jallad, right? Call the executioner. Every limb that is repeated in his body, including his teeth, just break it off, cut it off. 2 hands to cut off 1 hand. 10 fingers to cut off 9 fingers. 2 legs to cut off. I ask, I would ever do this again. So now, this is the solution for this type of people. So no, I need this one here. So that's how, the same. The Quran Sharif has got it, it's got a reason for it. But you don't have the level of understanding. And then you want to know why is the repetition. So like you know the reason for you having the second arm, you know the reason for you having the second foot, the same manner, the one that has got the understanding, he knows the understanding, he knows the reason why that Quran Sharif has got that verse repeated. So one is a genuine thing, and one is an imitation. Genuine is a different thing, and an imitation is a different thing. See, I spoke about salami, qiyam. I spoke about duru sharif, right? Someone is in that emotional state and he's doing it with wuzu. Alright, but keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Don't you publicize it, don't speak about it, don't market the thing. He's in an emotional state, he wants to do it with wuzu, right? Do it. Khalas. Don't you consider it as compulsory and binding. It's alright. Otherwise, the question will come about, that when you can take the name of Allah Ta'ala without wuzu, why can't you take the name of Nabi Sassam without wuzu? If Nabi Sassam had to hear this, he won't be happy. He has allowed you to take Allah Pak's name without wuzu, then why do you introduce something new? See? So that's why I say, if someone is in a state of emotion, we will not tell him much. But just confine it to that condition. Don't you generalize it, don't publicize it. Don't generalize it, and don't you publicize it. It's a different, we just isolate this thing, according to, leave it one side. Don't make a noise about it. So we're coming to this hadith, where I say, you know, one is to preserve, one is to acquire, and the second is to preserve. Two different things, isn't it? One is to acquire, Ramadan, and second is to preserve. So in the acquisition, the first step is, get the beliefs right. Any belief, small or big belief, don't interfere, don't add your own 2 cents to it. Just leave it as it came from the time of Nabi Sassam till now, as you've got it from your ustad, etc. Reputable people, don't you put your 2 cents to it. Nothing. If you talk about life after death, keep it as that. We'll believe in a life after death. If you talk about a life in the qabr, talk, understand, believe it. There are some things that you can see, you see, and some things that you don't see, right? But in spite of you not being able to see some things, but you still believe in it, right? You believe in a thing like intelligence and brains, don't you believe in it? But did you see your intelligence? Did you see your brains? So if I say you got no brains, it's Can you prove it to me that you got brains? You take it out and show it to me. So you will say, there is something that indicates to this person being intelligent that his work, there's consistency, he understands, he analyzes, he reasons correctly, therefore he's an intelligent, wise person. Don't you say that? So similarly, if you cannot see it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The Quran Sharif says that everything remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is like that. Everything remembers Allah ta'ala. You can't perceive it. But it doesn't mean if you can't perceive it, then it doesn't exist. Science can't perceive the heaven. They can't see the heaven as yet. They'll say something about shadow and whatever distance and shadow and the lights and blue feeling and all that. They'll talk something scientific about it. The reason for it is they couldn't perceive it. But now, is that reasoning right, that because we can't perceive it, therefore it doesn't exist? Is that right? The reasoning is incorrect. Because, say, 1,000 years ago, scientists, the greatest scientists, they didn't perceive America. So does it mean that it didn't exist that 1,000 years ago? It was there. But they couldn't see it. They couldn't locate it. Same with Australia. All about 300-400 years now. So they couldn't perceive it, but does this mean that it wasn't existing? It was existing. They only explored it later on. So does it mean that it only came into existence after they explored it? No. You didn't perceive it. That doesn't mean it did not exist, doesn't exist. So this reasoning of this is all cockeyed, false, you see. And we need to understand that. See, when they talk about the Darwin and all that, right? So it is just a... To me, there is no essence to it. Absolute, there is no essence to it. It's guessing around. What's the word I used before that? Speculation. Speculating. So this, in that, the speculation, they made it a fact. And everybody was by the thing. Their speculation, they made the speculation into a fact. And everybody must now then accept that speculation. Is that right? Make it an exam subject, make it in the school, force it down the person's throat. Is that the right thing to do? See, I was telling some school teacher, high school teacher. He liked this point. So I'm sharing it with you. So see, the school education is only for your lifestyle. What? School, university, what? To maintain a good standard of living, right? Nothing else. So just keep it at that. That it is for you to maintain a standard of living. Right? That school education was not to design your mind. It was not to influence your mind and thought. It was for what? For you to be able to maintain a good lifestyle. Just keep it at that. It's for the stomach. But the school education, university education, for what? For stomach. Easy now. Lifestyle is a little bit difficult word. Easy word is for stomach. I can eat better, live better, sleep better. So just for that sleep and eat and all that, I'm taking a lot of school education. Was the school education meant for it to design and engineer your thought? No, it wasn't for that. So he wrote that thing down. He was going to teach it to his children. So it is meant only to maintain a lifestyle, not for you to change your thought, not for that thing to come and influence your thinking. Now I ask you, whoever goes to the curriculum, isn't his thought changed? Isn't it influenced? He goes into that environment, they talk in a certain way, they teach in a certain way, the whole curriculum goes in a certain way. Now he begins to think in a different way, totally different. He was a different person, now he becomes a different person altogether. Before, there was a lot of modesty and shame in him, right? Now you hear a girl eloped, the boy eloped, some girl. Don't you hear these things? So this is very stemming from here. Freedom, freedom of thought, freedom of behavior, freedom of speech. And then you just want to move. That freedom of speech is not allowed only where it comes to a government level. A government, don't speak against a government. America, this one, the other, don't speak against that. So the freedom of speech, there they take it away. But against Allah Ta'ala, it's alright, you can talk about it. See the inconsistency. Imam Tarmizi Sahib Rahmatullah was in Kanpur. So, now you're talking beliefs. Let's see, how thorough the belief must be. So, some very, very wealthy Nawab, he came to live with his wife here in Kanpur. For whatever reason, sometimes it's just because of climatic reason, they come and change one place to the other place. They're coming from Bhopal, which is now an Islamic state at that time, now 200 years ago, 100 years ago, they came to live in Kanpur. Perhaps for health reasons, climatic conditions, whatever, they came and stayed here. So the child was sent to a madrasa, to a school. Now, the wealthy at that level, so they should have a special driver taking the child to the school, madrasa, whatever. So the driver now played a prank with the child. So he asked the child, what are you learning, what are you studying now? Yusuf Ali Islam story, we are learning that story now. So now he played a prank with the child. So go and ask your teacher, how was the breast of Zulaikha, now Yusuf Ali Islam's wife? So you understand the prank that he played. Now I can understand why he did it. Anyway, the child in his innocence, he doesn't know, either. 12, 13-year-old child, he doesn't know what it's all about. So he reported this to the, he mentioned this to the teacher. So the Mullah was teaching there. So the Mullah answered, brilliantly, he answered. He said, her breast was like your mother's. It was a brilliant answer, a very brilliant answer. Now this child came and reported it to his mother, and this is what the Mullah said about your breast. So the mother summoned the Mulana to the house. And she had that position, whatever. So she summoned the Mulana. The Mulana came and said, what happened? You embarrassed me in front of my child. What happened? So the Mulana explained, see, the child gave you half a story. He just gave you this end of the story. He didn't tell you the full story. He asked about Zulaikha and her breast, right? And this is the answer I gave. And the reason for the answer is this, that Zulaikha is the wife of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And according to our beliefs, the wives of the Anbiya are like the mothers of the Ummat. Right? So this child here, he insulted my mother, I insulted his mother. The brilliant, see how the more reason. He insulted my mother, so I had the right to insult his mother. So the mother was so affected with the reasoning, she actually chucked the child out. Go out. For a couple of good weeks, the child is out of the house. Then she called him again back. But now the child learnt a lesson for the rest of his life. Now this is the problem today, that if we discipline the child, my darling, it wouldn't do that again, huh? Don't do that again. So the child will do that mistake 50 times repeated, and he'll never get corrected. But one mistake, and then you chuck him out 3 weeks out of the house. Mother is not showing him any attention. Now that lesson is a lesson, lifelong lesson. It's not just one day, 2 days. I put the prisoner to the jail, correctional services, then parole, there's a 5-star living out there in the jail, you've got a television, all type of food and all that. He's looking more forward to going to that prison. So where's the correctional services? That's supposed to be correcting him. Don't want to go 1 hour there. So that must be the correction. But if they're going to make it like a 5-star, what's going to happen? One friend was telling me, see, disciplining and correcting, there's a style, there's a way of doing all these things. And it has to be done correctly. So he says to me that he went to one walima, right? So that gathering wasn't too good because a little bit of a mixed gathering. I won't say it's totally mixed, men on one side, women on the other side, there's no screen in between. So he was there, and he says that the child, about 4 years of age, and he was playing a prank, throwing something here, someone's shoe, someone this thing, some cup here, something. So now, all the guests, the 500 guests, they're getting disturbed because of this one child's behavior. So the mother is an advocate, so she holds the child, my darling, don't do that, you my darling, I still love you, but don't do that again. In 2 months, the child is doing the same thing again. Again, the mother catches the child, I love my darling, I love you, kiss the child 2-3 times. Don't do that again, please. And second time, third time. The whole crowd, nobody's got chained, nobody's got sukoon and peace there because of this one child's behavior, misbehavior. And the mother thinks that if I'm going to correct this child here, then he'll get into a depression, he'll go backwards. Now, to try and save this one child, She is disturbing the whole majma. All the 500 people are getting disrupted, disturbed, just to save this one child. Is that fair, I said? The right thing was give him two, three snaps, correct him wherever, whichever way, put him in his place. For the rest of his life, he will not disturb anybody. He won't disrupt anybody. But if the wrong steps of discipline is put forward to the child, he said, well, it's a small thing, I'll just do this, my mother will say, I love you and all that, I can carry on doing it. That's how the child will think. See, he says this, he says that the way of correction is ta'ammul and tahammul. Think. Don't just blurt out anything. Think. Think. Short-term, long-term consequences. Think about it. I say this, this will happen. Long-term consequences. I may say something now, right? And I may say to the person, I had in my chest, I just gave it out. But now the rapport that you had for years, that thing is now affected. Now you can't speak to the person eye to eye, you can't meet up, you can't see to him. Why? Because of the one word that you used. One word that you use now, you can't see him eye to eye. Why? One word. But you see that word is how dangerous it is. So he says, don't do anything, don't say anything without thinking. Consequence, short term, long term. I need to say it, yes, I need to say it. How must I say it? When must I say it? Is it the right time, right occasion? Now I said what I need to say, it had the right effect. I asked of some old ladies. Few old ladies that didn't go to school, they had brains. Right. Every home has something unschnitz, right? Something imbalanced, inconsistent, but they knew how to do things. So some of the old ladies, you heard their stories, right? Say now the husband needs to be told something. Now when will they say it? How will they say it? Now how they plan themselves. See how they plan. See the husband came from work. Now they understand that when he came from work, then he's tired. What he wants to rest, has a good plate of food, some good story to put him to rest, make him feel at ease, right? So he rested nicely, he read his fajr namaz, after fajr a small snooze he had his breakfast. Now nicely, Sunia, I think if you could just attend to it, I would appreciate it. Right. Now, how is it? The first one was, as she came into the house, she let him have it. Yeah, you know what? It's all upside down, things happening here. And you're seeing here. You don't say, you don't know what happens. We know what's happening. Now, how will you feel? So, the second approach was also an approach to correct, rectify and correct, right? But the first and the second approach, is there not a world of a difference? There's a world of a difference. You said it at the right time, in the right way, in the right frame of mind you said it. You got your things done. The husband will like you, say, hey, man, she let me sleep nicely, let me eat nicely. I was rested and I had my breakfast also now, just about to go work. And she told me about it. So never mind, in the work I try and work it out, now what I must do. So he is rested nice, he's easy, he's taking it nicely. See, there's beliefs, we're talking about beliefs. So the first thing is get the belief right. Anything that comes to disrupt, disturb, confuse, complicate, W.W. Hunter, he writes, see, we have designed our curriculum, let's talk about the school, curriculum, school, university, college, designed it in such a way that, let's talk about this English, what we learn today in every school, designed it in such a way that any person that enters our school, university, college, he won't leave without having a doubt about his own religion, be it a Jew, be it a Christian, a Buddhist, a Muslim, whoever. He must have some doubt about his religion. But I ask you, is that not a fact? Don't we see it today? And after you have gone through the whole course, don't you have some type of doubt, some reservation? Maybe you cleared it off afterwards. But at some point when the teacher was delivering that lesson, or you had to study that subject, didn't you have some reservations? Now how important it is that we go and correct it. Now we're sending our children to Islamic schools, etc. For everything else we can go and talk to the governing body. Everything else, can't we go and talk to the governing body? We can do it. Now Hazrat Nasir Sahib has got an Islamic watch. He's also talking to the governing bodies about beard and all that, right? Nice. I appreciate it. MashaAllah. I must talk about this as well. Don't interfere with deen, with the beliefs. Just leave it like that. Talk about everything else. They want to learn mathematics, teach them mathematics. They want to learn English, teach them. But don't interfere with their beliefs. You'll capsize the whole religion. The whole religion will be demolished. Because the whole religion is supported on the belief. When that thing is affected, I ask you, does the child got any leg to stand upon? Any feet to stand upon? So don't interfere with that. So let's hope he can also promote this also, inshallah. I hope it's not a too tall order, inshallah. So first is, get your belief right. Then after the belief, then is the amal. Now, we shall speak about which amal. Striving for the sake of deen. Striving for the sake of deen. One is the original, when you have got the strength. I was just explaining to someone. So, the Quran Sharif shows there can be two situations. وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Why don't you fight in the path of Allah Ta'ala? So, there is two categories of people according to this verse. One who has the strength. He's got the might. He's got the clout. He's got the equipment to stand up against the enemy. Then you stand up. He's got a machine gun, you got a machine gun. He's got a tanker, you got a tanker. He's got a fighter plane, you got a fighter plane. So you equal to him, so you fight. But if you don't have it, then وَالْمُسْتَدَعْفِينَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ وَالْوِلْدَانِ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا. So those that are weak, they don't have that. Then they must strive in different ways, make dua, etc., etc., whatever they can do. So the one that has got the strength, he will fight according to his strength. He doesn't have the strength, then what he must do? Now, where the complication comes about is where you don't have the strength and you want to behave as though you got the strength. You don't have a tanker, you don't have a fighter plane, you don't have all these things here, rocket launchers, you don't have it. And you want to behave like that. What's going to happen? You're going to hurt yourself, you'll hurt the rest of the Muslims. Everybody will be looked up as a terrorist. So you don't have the strength, you don't have the might, then you are at a different level. The one that's got the strength, he's got the might, he's different. What's the meaning of this verse? Mustadafina, Mila Rijali, one Nisai, well, Wildan, men, women, and children, right? It's Allah going to tell him, you also go and fight. So he's subjecting them to strength. Mustadafina, Mila Rijal, one Nisa, well, Wildan, Alladina, Kunabana, Akhrizna Minhaz. They make dua for their well being. Akhrizna Minhazi, Al-Qariyati Zalimi Ahluha, Waj'allana Min Ladunka Waliya, Waj'allana Min Ladunka Nasira. So you will strive. Now what you will strive for? If you can't strive at that level of the mujahid, right, then you will strive to the extent that you can preserve your deen. Namaz, go for gush, call people for namaz, bring about an Islamic awareness. Everybody's got a capacity, he'll work according to his capacity. Someone is stronger, then he will work according to his capacity. Someone that is weaker, he will work according to his capacity. But everybody will do something for the cause of deen. Whatever he can do, he will do. Right? He's going for gush and tabligh. This person is doing janazas. This person is doing ghusl. This person is doing something for the sake of Muslims. So according to your capacity, you will do. So wazir watu sinami, the highest level of Islam is striving. You know, when you want to aim for the highest, isn't it? If you have got the capacity to sell jets, will you sell bicycles? One jet, you know, you make a couple of millions, right? Will you go and sell a bicycle? Oh, bicycles make a lot of money. You won't do that. You won't do a stupid thing like that. If I can sell a jet, then I mustn't sell these things. I must look for this, good customers for this. Right? So, each person will strive according to his capacity. Doesn't that make that easy? Within your home, don't you have a strength? Don't you have a clout? Don't you have an influence within your house? You know, go and talk to the whole world. Lekin ghar ka tikana, house is not right. Your family is not right. Your neighborhood, you could work on all these people. You've got friends. You could talk to them about Islam. Create an awareness at the level that they can feel comfortable. You spoke to them about Islam. About deen. Maybe you see someone not making parda. You spoke about parda. Maybe the person is extravagant at weddings. So you told him, don't waste like this, right? Maybe that person wasn't doing his namaz. He's going to weddings and all that, but not doing his namaz right. So you spoke to him in a nice way, respectable manner, with all respect and nobility. You address the person. He will appreciate it, but nobody speaks to me like how you speak to me. You're addressing me with respect and nobility. I do appreciate it. See? So, the second important thing in deen is to strive for the perseverance and the promotion of Islam. not only to preserve, but to promote. Are you at a certain level? Now let's, all right, there's a weakness here. How do we overcome this? There's a problem here. How do we address this? There's a problem here. How do we address it? See? So that he's looking for the perseverance to preserve and to promote, to see, all right, I can improve the levels, right? All right, now you're living in an area and you're seeing that the youngsters are not coming to the masjid. Now, how can I work to get the youngsters to come to the masjid? You want to grab them, hey, go to the masjid. I'll shoot you down. Maybe one day they get frightened and they listen to you. After that, they'll shoot you down. You'll cause fights, you'll cause some peace. So now think now how you're going to do it. Call on Jama'at, get some ideas, spoke to them, made some khususi mulaqat. You took them for a braai, spoke to them nice, spoke to them the language. Now they begin to take a liking to you, now they come to the masjid. So, but how to invite them? See, there's so many youth, but they're not doing the namaz. So how to promote? Or there's so many girls in this town here, but they're not observing parda. They're going for gymming and running out the whole world like monkeys. But they're not doing parda, yeah. How should I get it done? Must I tell you, monkeys and baboons running the streets. Must I tell them, they won't listen to me. They'll file a court case against me just now. So now how to get them into the homes and observe, let them observe parda. So that must be the thinking of a Muslim. Zirwatu sinami al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Now, I can see a problem, a weakness. How do I attend to it? So imagine you are presented before Nabi Sam, as you get into the grave, right, you hear that Nabi Sam, and Nabi Sam hears about you, that you try to revive, whichever, according to your capacity, according to your means, whatever you could do, you did. I ask you, won't he be happy? Won't it please his heart? This man here, at least he tried to bring something right. He brought my deen right. Right. Now at the end of that hadith, Nabi Sam says, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ مِلَاكِ ذَٰلِكَ كُلِّ. You see, you required so much in the month of Ramadan. You made Roza, Tarawih, Quran Sharif, a lot of sacrifice you've done. But now must I show you something that will preserve everything, that will bond, you know, everything that you have acquired, and it will take care of it. It will preserve it. So Nabi Sam pointed out toward his tongue, let's take care of this. Like you will earn through your tongue, you will lose also through your tongue. Like you will earn zikr through your tongue, is it? Quran Sharif, tongue. Namaz, most of it is the tongue. Subhanallah, Rabbil Azim, Surah Fatiha, Surah, most of it is the tongue, right? So you earn through your tongue, but you can also equally lose through your tongue. You can acquire through your tongue, and you can lose through your tongue. Sometimes it's just one word. And one word can demolish all your actions. One word. I mean, just one word. You're in the marriage for 30 years. One word, the whole marriage is divorced. The whole marriage is demolished, isn't it? Talaq, is it? So one word can demolish all the wrong. All the good that you have done, one word can demolish it. So now, as you acquire through your tongue, then you lose through your tongue. Therefore, Nabi Sam very intelligently, wisely, and rightfully said, look after this. We talk about the eyes, right? Eyes is very important, but more important than the eyes is the tongue. How important it is. We will just disgrace someone, run someone down, embarrass someone, put him through the doldrums. Yeah? It's easy for us to do it in his presence or in his absence, but is that the way of a Muslim? See, the Muslim speaks about usury, right? Such a severe guna, it's a curse, right? 36 times adultery. If you heard this person is an adulterer, how you feel? You feel disgusted, you don't want to be near him. Right? But now, insulting, reviling, disgracing a Muslim is worse than that as well. He did wrong, alright, Allah Pak forgives him. It's between him and Allah Ta'ala. But that doesn't give me the license to revile, to disgrace, to dishonor my Muslim brother. Verbally, or in sign language, in any other way. We don't know, he must have corrected himself. Between himself and Allah, he's corrected himself. But does that give me the license to go and disgrace him, dishonor him, embarrass him? Hazrat Ahmad was given an incident, you know, in those days. So he says, he used to have a majlis after Jummah on a Friday. After Jummah, he used to have a majlis. People from all far and wide, from different towns, villages, farms, all would come. One side would be men, one side would be women. And he will address them all. So Hazrat also understood that correcting the woman is also important. Like correcting the men is important, then correcting this woman is also important. Otherwise, how will your house go right? If you corrected the men, but you didn't make the effort to bring that woman right, will your home go right? Will your children go right? So like that was important, this was also important. So that he's explaining, you know, in a private gathering now, a small gathering. He says, after that discourse on a Friday, one alim came to me and he says, I want to speak to you in confidence. Normally on a Friday, that is a little free. Sometimes that buzuk is very busy. Very busy. You can't get to talk to him. Now presently now, 1-2 weeks, I'm so busy, I can't see anybody. Like Ramzan time, you can't see anybody. You're so busy. One thing comes, another thing goes. One thing comes, another thing goes. I thought, I'll do this, I can't do it. Can't do this, can't. So it's because of your being preoccupied. Not that you don't want to see the person, you want to see the person, but it's a preoccupation now. What do? You can't do so much only. Sometimes at home I say, you can have the tea quickly, man. So the family has to remind me, but I only got two hands, Only two hands. So sometimes if you want it in a rush, you say, you still got two hands. Anyway, they also correct you, isn't it? They correct you. So anyway, so this person wanted to speak to Hazrat Hamza in confidence. Hazrat allowed him, got time after Juma. So what happened? He says, no, you know, something very embarrassing happened to me. He says, I had to write a fatwa. Right? The person issued 3 divorces, so his wife was out of the marriage. He went through the halala process and he remarried his wife. After the halala process, she married someone else. And whatever the protocol, he followed the protocol and he remarried. So it just came out of my tongue, ke pata nahi logo ka kya hoga, kya ho gaya, ke apne biwi ko dusre ko chaka chaka karke phir wapas lete hai. I don't know what's happened to people, they let others enjoy their wives and they take them back. Now that word was a little bit abusive, a little bit insulting, disgraceful. Right? And these things have the consequence. You think, hey, this thing came, my business went like that, this thing happened like that. But you don't realize something, some malfunction. Tongue let you down. You don't know, way let you down. And you didn't rectify it in time. There was a malfunction, there was a wrong, and you didn't rectify it in time. So he said, Mulana, and he gave this fatwa, but he didn't understand, he didn't take cognizance of the fact that there was a malfunction with the tongue. And he didn't make amends. One is to understand it and try to make amends. He says, hey, we had a very beautiful relationship with my wife, and my mother, everybody living together, an excellent relationship. Now I have to say this in a week's time, now the whole relationship just collapsed. Otherwise, hey, I'm thinking now, everything was going so beautiful, and that thing just collapsed now. And every time I come home now, mother is complaining about wife, wife about mother. Mother about wife, and wife mother. See what happens. Hazrat Mufti Sahib used to say, aadmi apne aap ko bekusoor na samjhe. Our problem is, we think that we are sinless, we are free of guilt. But we have also got something. Open your collar and see what you have got. Don't think that you are sinless at any time. You've also got a mistake. You've also got some problems. So anyway, this thing is carrying on. Then it just came to the heat. I just lost it one day. I just give 3 talaqs to my wife. My wife is complaining all the time. I couldn't take it anymore. I just issued 3 talaqs. Now, in a day's time, my mother got to know that's what happened. Obviously, she will go and cry to the mother-in-law. That's what happened. So the mother says, "Bhai, you see, this girl here, I got it for her, for you. I got it to the house for you. So in no way is this girl going to go out of my house." See, mother sometimes becomes a dictator. She said, "See, I got this girl for you. So this girl is not going to get out of this house under any circumstance. Not going to go." She had to spend the iddat there, and then she got her married to someone else, and after the whole protocol was observed, then remarried to the same Mawlana again. See? But you see the protocol that he had to go through. One word of embarrassing a Muslim, disgracing him, running him down. But you see what he had to go through. We think now, he said, sir, it's gone, hawame ud urgai, that is gone, it's gone to the air, it's gone with the wind. No, it's not like that. It's recorded. Ma yalfizu min qawlin illa ladayhi raqibun atid. One word that you utter, there is an angel that is recording, waiting for you to make that utterance and he will record it straight away. So you rather make amends for it. You understand, see, I made a problem here. I said something. I'm not supposed to say it. And I messed it up. I didn't have the right to embarrass, to disgrace, to dishonor a Muslim. But it just happened. I did it. So in time, you have the heart to go and rectify it, correct it, understand what you're doing. One person came and see me yesterday. See, things are not working out. So he came for the Ramzan program. I don't appreciate this too much, So I got my answers there. So I don't like this here because I was just, who got his answer here? So I had a problem now. My duas, I needed something to be accepted. So in the program I don't know about his problem. So I just said, get your relationship with Allah Ta'ala right and with people right. If you robbed, cheated, did someone down, hurt someone, or you had interrupted the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, anything that you've done. But be man enough to acknowledge your problem, go and rectify the thing, correct the thing, and then you see things will work out for you. See, I got my answer, I don't need to ask Mufti Sahab, he's too busy. So he went straight, whoever he heard and all that, he went and made the maaf, alhamdulillah, the du'a's got answered. See? But now it's a procedure by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you follow the procedure, you want to just jump the guy straight. Oh, it's a problem, I'll go just to the Kaaba Sharif, make du'a, everything will come right. But it's a procedure. Even to go to the Kaaba Sharif, you need passport, valid passport, you need visa, nowadays 2000 riyals, etc. All the things you need before they put you into the plane. You just say, no, jump, you can't, it can't happen. So but Allah Ta'ala, there's a procedure by going to correct all these things, rectify these things. Rectify it. And Allah Ta'ala, na'uzubillah, he's not one that is miserly, that doesn't want to do things. He'll do it. But you have the heart to go and stand before Allah Ta'ala, rectify, correct. I did this problem, I committed a wrong here, I heard that person there. How must I rectify it? How must I improve it? One story is coming to my mind. In India you get one clan, call them Rajput, right? Now these Rajput people are very crafty, very crafty. Sometimes to give the story is a little bit difficult because you get Muslim Rajput also. Now that Muslim Rajput may think I'm just insinuating, you see. It becomes difficult to explain the story. But now, what do you do? You have to give the story. Now these people are very crafty. So he came to become a murid to Hazrat Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So Mawlana knows the background of this class of people. So he says, "Kisi ke maal chori kya? Did you ever steal at any time?" So he says, "Yeah, bahut chori kya. I stole enough. So go and fix that up." So he went his own way, he started. That person that I did him down in the train, that Banya came into the train, I did him down. So all the people that he did down, he wrote their names. And he wrote them letters. Hey, I did you down, make me maaf for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Mawlana says very strangely that Banya wrote a letter, Hasbatan lillah maine tujhe maaf kar diya. Only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I forgive you. Mawlana says that was that man's sincerity. He was so good at heart that Banya can't leave 1 cent. He's such a person. He can't forgive 1 cent. But yeah, he gave away that day 500 rupees. The salary was about five rupees. To wave off 500 rupees was a small thing. Major thing. But he waved the whole thing out. See? But that was the goodness of his heart.